I don't even say my name. So for those who are visiting with us, my name is Kinson Desir. I am the, you can call me the pastor, minister, usher, janitor, whatever floats your boat, wherever side of the world you are, that's who I am. But I have the awesome privilege of being here with these group of believers. My family moved here about 2 years ago now, almost 2 years. And you know, we left Georgia, we came here to New York to be with this group, to serve, to lead, to live life together, because that's what we see in the scriptures when it comes to true Christianity. And so this is why we're here. And so for you as visiting, welcome. We are glad that you've decided to join us for worship. Maybe you're visiting for the first time, or maybe this is your third or fifth time, whatever it is, you chose to be with us today, and we welcome you, and we say thank you for joining us. So, welcome. So, you know what's interesting? It's snowing in Georgia. All right, it's snowing in Georgia, like not just like little flakes, like sledding. Like you can go sledding down the driveway, snowing. Like the curb, you don't know where the curb is or where it ends because there's snow that made it level. And so my niece, she moved from Miami to Georgia, so this is her first like snow. And so we have like this big family text chain or whatever, and she's video recording her in the snow. Like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And you know, the snow is coming down, and I'm looking outside my deck. It's sunny outside. The birds chirping, you know what I'm saying? Some people walking around in shorts. I don't know how, I don't know why, but that's what they do. So it's all good, you know? So I'm enjoying this weather, and I hope you are too. So. Last week, if you were with us, we talked about heart prep and how, you know, God is, before something comes, before the storms or the blessings or however you perceive it, God is always working. And he's always working in the hearts of people to get them ready for whatever it is, to prepare them. And so we looked at how God, he searches the heart. Right? Like a doctor, you know, he searches the heart, he analyzes what's going on because he wants to reveal what's hindering, right? Some, it could be sin, it could be unresolved issues, it could be whatever's going on that's gonna hinder you from experiencing or coming into what I have prepared for you. I'm here to search this out and I'm here to reveal it to you. And then he refines, he goes through a process of refining our hearts, right? And all of that is so that he can be, so we can be restored, so that heart can be restored back to him, because God is always drawing us closer to him, right? And so we looked at that, and so as part of preparation process, there's things that God allows us to participate in that process, right? And that comes with, you know, prayer and confession and fasting. And so for all of you who, you know, chose to join me, I say thank you for participating in that. I've heard different conversations of people really just taking this time to really open up their hearts and just talk about some things that they probably haven't talked about in a while. Just getting it off their heart, because they believe, man, something's coming. Something special in 2025 is coming. I don't know what it is. I don't have the blueprint, but I'm trying to be ready for it. And I think that's always good, especially if you're walking in the light, that you're always in that mode that I want to be prepared and ready for what God has in store for me, right? And so that's what we talked about last week. And then I did something crazy. I left everybody in a cliffhanger, right? I said, listen, we got a theme, but I ain't telling you what it is. You got to come back today, right? And so everybody was like, so now y'all here. So I see the room's a little more fuller because y'all want to see, okay, what are he talking about? What's coming up, right? So that's all good. That's all good. I'm not going to share it yet, though. I'm not going to share it yet. No, I'm just joking, which I am going to share it. There we go. Whoop, too fast. Love the Lord your God. That is our theme for this year for the Westchester Church. We're going to focus on loving the Lord our God. Now, it sounds simple. Yeah, I love God. Okay, we're gonna see how much do we believe what we proclaim. Because we're gonna look at some things today that is gonna challenge us. It's going to be about people that were here before us and their commitment level to loving the Lord their God. And what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to do some reflection. We're going to have to look intensely at ourselves from Scripture and say, do I love the Lord? Now, even if I answer that question with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, do I love the Lord in that way? And I listen, I'm excited and nervous at the same time. Because even as I'm going through this myself, I'm asking myself the difficult questions. And I'm getting some results that I'm not too happy about. But God is good. And he's gracious enough to allow me to see my shortcomings and being able to have the ability to repent. The ability to say, oh, okay, no, I'm falling short here, God. But now you're giving me the opportunity to address it, and you're giving me the opportunity to repent so that I can grow. And so thank you, God, for that. And so all of us, we're going to go through this together. So for this whole year, we're breaking the quarters down. The first quarter of the year, we're focusing on the heart. And the second quarter, we're focusing on the soul, which is kind of the spirit, and you'll see what I mean when we get to that point. And then we're going to focus on the mind, and in the last quarter, we're going to focus on strength. And I believe that with intentional drive and desire, that we will grow. Individually, no matter where you are, you're going to grow. But as a church, we're going to grow. We're going to grow, whether it's numerically, whether it's in spiritual maturity. Because spiritual maturity does not mean how long you've been a Christian. There are plenty of 40-year-old Christians who's been Christians for 40 years, but their spirituality in thought and how they live is like a 2-year-old. So I speak to a mature room with respect. Please understand, I'm speaking with respect, but do not let your years of Christianity blind you to think that you're spiritually mature. That's not true. Not entirely. But that's for another time. We're going to go ahead, and I'm going to start my clock because I didn't do that. Because I know we have some other things going on today, and I want to be able to stay on task. But I am not going to rush the spirit, so don't worry about that. I am not going to rush the spirit on that fact. So let us move on. Woo, that's loud. I promise you, I'm not a DJ. I'm not trying to. Okay, it's help me out there, team. There we go. All right, here we go. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, it reads, and I share this with you because this is going to kind of help set up the theme and kind of what we're going to talk about today. So I'm just going to give you an overview, and then we're going to kind of lock on one part of all of this. But in the theme came from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This command reminded the Israelites something that I believe is also relevant today. That God is one. He's sovereign. There is no back and forth about it. It's not an opinion. This is a statement that God is one. And that with that God being one, he called his people to love him with all of these things that I just mentioned, the heart, the soul, the strength. Thank you. Thank you. That theme is also mentioned here in Deuteronomy 11 through 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its seasons, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. And then once again, Jesus referenced to it in Mark 12, verses 29 to 30, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, this is what in Hebrew is called the Shema. Now, the Shema, I have to give some context to it before we kind of like dig into it. The Shema was written to the Israelites thousands of years ago. Like I said, it's mentioned in Deuteronomy twice. It's also mentioned in Numbers as well. And then again, Jesus refers back to it in the New Testament to the Shema. Now, the Shema means to hear or listen, okay? Now, in Hebrew, hearing and listening is the same as action and obedience, right? So when we see hear, they don't interpret it as hearing as, okay, I've heard the word. I was in the room when you said it. Like, they take it as I'm hearing it, internalizing it, and I'm obeying it all in one swoop. There's not a break in that. There's not a hear and I decide later what I'm gonna do with what I've heard. It was one swoop. Already when I listen to that, I'm already asking myself the question, do I respond to God's word that way? Do I hear it and respond in action with it? Or is there a delay? Or is there some detours that I take before I act or obey or choose not to? Again, this is something that the Hebrews took and internalized, and they applied it. The Shema is not just something that we can just pass and gloss over. Like, there's times where husbands probably could relate. They've heard their wives say, I know you heard me, but are you listening to me? Right? That's a cheap plug for our marriage retreats and workshops. Make sure you attend. But it was more than that. For the Hebrews, it was a declaration of their faith, right? Because Jesus wasn't here yet. So this was the declaration for them that the Lord is one. Like, it wasn't something that you would allow themselves, they would allow themselves to just roll over with. It was something that was deeply ingrained into their belief. It was the foundational understanding. And when I think about that, again, for myself, I have to ask these questions. Do I look at the law of God that way? Do I internalize it and take it to that level? And if I find places where I do not, then I have to make some decisions to change. And so it's relevant for us today. And reason why I say what we're about to get into today is so relevant, because we are in a world where there's so many different distractions. And there's so many different things that pulls from our devotion, that cause us to be divided, where standards becomes maligned, where the line is blurred in so many different areas of society. And so because of that, I think about these people before me and how locked in they were. Now, yes, we know the history that they've gone through times of, you know, they disobeyed God and they, you know, they were exiled. And yes, we get that. We get that. But when they were locked in, they were locked in. And I'm inspired by that, and I'm challenged by that as well. The Shema reminded the Israelites of their allegiance. It wasn't something that it was just written somewhere and they turn to it every now and again. They actually memorized and prayed this prayer twice a day, the Shema. Twice a day they did this. Now, that's probably in addition to the other practices that we know that we've read about, but just this alone, let's just take everything out and think about this. They decided that twice a day, they're gonna pray this prayer, the Shema. Imagine for us today, what that would look like if we said to ourselves, there is one passage or one declaration that we will pray twice a day, every day, every day of the month, every day of the year, every day of the decade, every day, I mean, just keep on going. Imagine the impact that that would have on the lives that we live today. So when these things are written, it is for us to learn. We don't look at it and say, oh, that was back in the day. It's not relevant. That was the old law. Man, you know what? There's some convictions that they have that I believe they would look at us today and scoff. They would scoff on how laissez-faire. I'm not saying individually us, but as the world looks at Christianity, how they look at their allegiance to God, they would just, Is this it? Is this what it's like? I don't know. So my first point, and this is probably gonna be my only point, so I'm gonna hang on this for a while, is our undivided devotion. Having an undivided devotion to God to a point where nothing else compares. Nothing else seems to interferes with the decisions, with our behavior, with our utmost praise, that it's undivided. There is no competition, that my devotion to God is such that there is nothing else. That's an amazing place to be, and I think we can get there. I believe we can get there. You know, the Shema begins with the command that's recognizing that God is the only God. Now, the context of that is understand the Israelites and their path. They were the slaves to the Egyptians for so many years. And in Egypt, they practiced worshiping many gods. And it wasn't just that they practiced many gods in their little temples. It was everywhere you walked. The minute you walk outside, there's idols everywhere, corners. You know, if it was modern day White Plains or Westchester, just imagine everywhere you go, every main street, every back alley, every corner was different images of different gods, and many people just worshiping all of this. In their homes, there's little statues and figurines. When I was growing up, I'm a little, digest a little bit. So when I was growing up, my mom, she used to have all of these like little figurines. Now they weren't like idols and stuff. It was like the little porcelain of little chickens and hens, and it was random stuff. Like it didn't even match the decor, right? But I could just imagine like if this was like idol worship, this is probably what it felt like. Just everywhere you turn, you're reminded there's a God for this and a God for that. And so at this point, they're now, you know, Moses, you know, God hears the cries of the Israelites and sends Moses to freedom. And now they're able to leave. And now here they are in their land. And God is like, okay, let's establish some things. I'm the only God. And they needed to understand that. They needed to have that locked in, because for so long, you've been told there's other gods. Now, I'm not saying while they're there, they didn't, you know, they did worship, but some of them did. Some of them did accept these other gods. And so now that we removed you from that environment, I need you to know, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. I'm the only God. There is none before me, none after me. Complete sovereignty over your life. Complete sovereignty over not only just your life, but those that's coming. And we'll talk about that later. So it was important that that God established this. And for them, remember, hearing wasn't just, I heard that. It was one swoop. It was hearing, obeying, hearing and doing. It was one swoop for them. And this is what God had to remind them. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, you're a product of your environment, right? We've heard that, right? You're a product of your environment. And there's a verse that says, bad company corrupts good character. Both of them are saying the same thing, that depending on where you are, who you surround yourself with, you're going to be influenced. You will be influenced. And so for the Israelites, that must have registered that we need to be amongst our people. We can't be mixing it up with the world. Why is that relevant today? Think about where we are in 2025. How easy it is to mix it up with the world. Materialism at an all-time high. Success at an all-time high. Where you live is an all-time high. The economy is an all-time high. Politics is all-time high. Like all these things. Consider where we are and think about how important it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. There is no other God. So he demands this of his people. He demands the attention and the devotion of his people. Now, I'm gonna move to the next one here. I'm gonna break your hearts a little bit here, not figuratively. 8.25 seconds. 8.25 seconds represents the average attention span of an adult. 8.25 seconds. Now, I'm about to make you feel really bad in a second. You know what has more attention span than 8.25 seconds? A goldfish. A goldfish has 9 seconds of an attention span. Listen, I know you came to be encouraged, but sometimes, you know, 8.25 seconds. And actually, it's actually getting worse, because back in 2000, our attention span was about 12 seconds. 12 seconds. Undivided devotion. Can you see the power that's working against us? Yes, we have a power working for us, but do you see what's working against you and I? It's just diminishing. The draw to break us away is increasing. And we're in a world where everything is accessible to us now. Anything we desire, anything we wish for, it is at our disposal. We can call Amazon and Amazon deliver it to our house. We ain't even gotta go pick it up. It's being brought to us. We don't have to find lust, or we don't have to go somewhere to be lustful. We can just go downstairs into our office, into our basement, into our closet. Undivided devotion is what I see the Israelites carrying as they look at the Shema. Twice a day, this was a part of their prayer. Understanding that this was not just something to listen to as we listen to someone sharing news about what happened yesterday, or you know, I got a new car, or whatever the case may be. But it was a one swoop of listening and doing, knowing that God is one. There's so many things competing for our attention, but our devotion to God cannot be divided. It cannot, we cannot allow our devotion to God to be stymied, to become stale, to become boring or ritualistic, because that is the temptation, that we go into a rut Are we going to some ritual aspect of Christianity? Go on autopilot mode? No, we need to be present in every moment of our devotion to God. This is what the Shema helped the Israelites to do. To be in the moment, in the breath of their devotion to their Father. And here we are, 2025. And we have that same opportunity to be in every breath, to be in every step devoted to our God. We have this opportunity. I stated earlier, Jesus he remarked back to that time in Mark chapter 12, verses 29, verse 30. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus reaffirms this as the greatest commandment. Now, mind you, the Israelites had many commands. It's a lot of laws. But if you want to sum it all up, here it is. If you devote yourself to this, you can't miss. You can't miss. And this is the call. This is when we're talking about, do we love the Lord our God? We might say yes. But then we got to go deeper. Is it with all of my heart? Is there divisions in my heart where I compartmentalize some of this devotion? Am I really giving everything I have? And I haven't even gone into the depth of this prayer, which I'm about to get into in a second, because there were some things about that prayer that challenges us. But the question of this devotion, what does it look like? What does it taste like? What is it to sleep with this devotion? What is it to live with this devotion to God? How transforming does this, what the impact of my life, how much of this transform my life if I devote completely, wholeheartedly to this? Man, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what I would see if this is my true dedication. Eliminating false idols and false priorities. Yes, I'ma say it, false priorities. We're lulled to sleep to believing that there's other things that's more important that should rival my devotion to God. We're lulled to sleep in that. We think it's okay, and we think it's passive or it's permissible. But man, do we really count the cost on that? When we're towing the line of our devotion. When we look at the law of God and say, man, you know what, I like this, but I don't like that. When we play a la carte with the scriptures, we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't do that. Like I said, I'm staying on this point because I think this is important. Undivided devotions. The Shema instructed believers to impress God's commands on their hearts and to teach them diligently to their children. If you read Deuteronomy 6 through 9, it talks about how this needs to be on our hearts. And then not only on our hearts, but then we turn around and we impress it on our children. And I stand before you knowing that, man, there's some places I fall short in that. There are some places I have fallen short, but God, you have given me grace and I'm going to repent. I'm not letting this slip. I'm not letting this go by the wayside. I'm going to do whatever it takes to impress these things. And what I realized in this is that God was setting this up because if the Israelites were not devoted, then generations to come would miss. And we know from scripture that that happened in the time of Joshua. There was a generation that grew up and did not know who the Lord was. Why? Because stopped teaching. We didn't impress it on the younger generation. We're gonna have a parent meeting this afternoon. I hope every parent will be there.
That's my expectation, that every parent is going to be there, because there's some things we got to talk about. There's some things we got to impress on our next generation. But it's going to take us, for us to be devoted, for us not to be divided in our devotion, for us not to be, dare I say, hypocritical. That we don't wear a mask at church, wear a mask at work, but at come home, the mask comes off. Because I gotta believe that the Israelites, they didn't just listen to it, it was one swoop. And so their kids and next generation were able to see their faith. And so a room like this, some of us don't have kids. I think I've said this before to us. Some of us don't have, you know, our own kids, but you have kids in this community. You have kids in this community that you can participate in impressing the devotion onto them, because you are part of this community. I cannot believe that Israelites would say, oh, that's not my son, I'm not touching him, I'm not talking to him. Nope. I see him worshiping an idol, I'm turning the other way. I don't believe that's how they lived. I don't think so. And so we got to talk about these things. But they impressed it on their children. They impressed it on their children. Not simply, I don't think they just did it by, okay, I'm going to make you say this prayer with me every day. They probably did. You know, you're going to say this prayer. But it was the way they lived. Sometimes how we live is sharing your faith, is showing your devotion to God. It's not that you said it to them and you said, listen, I'm going to show you the scripture why that this is why you got to do it. It's sometimes it's people just looking at you. Sometimes it's just the decisions you've made makes me believe you're devoted to God. And sometimes the decision you've made made me question, do you believe in God? Do you really believe that? Because look at the decisions you've made. Look at this pattern that's in your life. It doesn't seem like the devotion to God is truly there. Shema. I don't see it there. And here's the even the bigger kick. When it's pointed out to you that we don't see it there, that's your opportunity to repent. Not argue and fight and double down in the opposite of Shema. That's not the time for that. It's time for some humble pie. I talked about apple pie. I love it. Humble pie. It's kind of hard to eat humble pie. It's hard to swallow it. It gets stuck right here. But it's necessary. It's necessary for my devotion to God to be undivided. It's necessary for my growth so that I can become mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's necessary. Every decision we make should reflect our devotion to God. The Shema challenges us to live authentically. That's what it reminds us, that we need to live authentically, not double-sided. Not. We're devoted. We're locked in. The world promotes devotion to self. That's what the world promotes. That's why we can't be intermingling with the world. Because they believe devotion to self is good. They put bows and ribbons around it. They put nice colors on the background. And all the more is drawing us away from our Father. That's why to them it looks weird. That's why it don't make no sense what the things that we should be doing. But those who understand, those who just, they don't just hear, but they hear and apply. They hear and obey like the true word meant to Hebrew. They did it. It was one swoop. And that's why it's going to look weird to them until it doesn't. In Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, the scripture reminds us, everything we do, not just the religious things or things that we label religious. There are some things that don't seem religious at all. Still do it in full devotion of God. Even the minute, just the smallest things, the things that you don't think nobody cares about. Nobody cares if I take the trash out other than Shayla. She's the only one that cares if the trash is taken out. Josh, you know, he's like, hey, it's still here. That's my guy. But even do that. Like, that's what it means. Like, it means every aspect of my life is devoted. So there's no days off. There's no moments off. That's what that means. And if I'm living like this, there should be some incredible transformations taking place. Because God loves that. I don't think God likes disobedience. I mean, he's willing to let a whole nation go without knowing him because of disobedience. Now, thankfully, he's a graceful God. He's merciful. His level of patience, I can't understand. But yet, we have access to that as long as we're breathing. As long as we're breathing, we have access to his patience, but we don't want to test it. We don't want to say, okay, how far can I make you give up on his patience, God? I don't want to know what that looks like. I'd rather say, hey, I'm going to just stay devoted. I'm going to just stay in this lane. It's safe. I know that it leads me to heaven. You know, I know that if I stay in this lane, that somehow this impact is not only just me, but it's going to impact the people in my house and then the people in my neighborhood and then the other people that I'm interacting with, whether it's at a job or at some kind of service center or some random place in this world, that my devotion is going to lead me to impact. That's what it's going to do. And I see that through the scriptures, and I'm encouraged by that, and I'm inspired by that. The Shema. The Shema. It's not just an ancient Jewish prayer. I don't believe so. I believe because we still have access to it, I think it's a vital reminder for my faith that I leave this before God, that I concentrate on this, that I give true and all energies to this, that it's not something that was just written for some of us to be able to accurately articulate it and be able to speak on it around a coffee table with some friends. No, I believe it's more than that. I believe it's linked to my relationship with Christ. It's linked to my obedience to the scriptures. It's linked to me no longer having a worldly view, but it's gonna be linked to having a godly view. I know my eyes is limited. I know it's not what it needs to be. But if I stay on this track, that my eyes will become more open. And it is open because guess what? I've made Jesus Lord of my life. I went into the water of baptism and I had my sins forgiven. I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we will be talking about later on this year. So I know there's some people saying, man, we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. And we will. But all of this is about devotion. It's about the decision first. We must decide that we're gonna love the Lord our God with what? All of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And if we don't know how to do that, guess what? We're gonna go through this together, y'all. We're gonna go through this together. And I hope that everybody walks into this, not with this, I've been there already. I did this series before. Really? You've been to 2025 before? You've been to 2025 before? Guess what? Most likely, all of us read some part of the Bible already. So you're not gonna hear anything new. But you still need the reminder. You still need it. You still need it. So I'm gonna close out right here. Because I think God made it clear the Shema, the undivided devotion is what's being called, right? And so I was playing around with this, but I'm gonna just trust the Spirit on this one. I'm gonna ask for us to do something, a little homework, because we know the next 2 weeks, we're not gonna have any house church. I mean, we're not gonna have, you know, corporate worship. We're gonna be worshiping in smaller groups. Great. I love it. I want us to just kind of see what it was like for the Israelites. So I'm going to ask us to commit this verse, commit these two verses to memory, and pray this verse twice a day. Now, not because Kenson said so. Please, I am not talking about some top-down hierarchy, yada, yada, yada. I'm talking about, you know what, God? You're saying something to me right now. Let me commit to this. Let me commit to quoting the scripture, bring it to memory, and praying this scripture twice a day. And indulge yourself. See what happens. Report to your brothers and sisters. You don't have to come back to me and say, Kenson, I did it. Here's my homework. I'm not asking that. Not asking that. But what I'm attempting to do is to move a group of people in one direction. That's my attempt. And not because it's Kenson, but I believe God is trying to do something. I truly do believe that. And I know that there is so many things that can happen here in Westchester. And so these are these little baby steps that we can take together, that we're moving in a direction together. If it's the wrong direction, God will make it clear. He's not gonna say, oh, I'm gonna let them keep on going. He's gonna make it clear. But what if he's not? What if this is the direction that he wants us to go in? Don't be that person who missed out. Don't be that person like, man, I wish I got on a boat. Don't be that person. I don't wanna be that person. So join me in that. Let's see what God does with this. And we're going to have a great time learning a lot of this stuff in the next, this whole year. But we know that at least for the next couple of months, from January to March, we're going to be talking about the heart. I didn't even talk about the heart yet today. I was just trying to set it up about the Shema, because we needed that. The Israelites needed that before they got to this, right? And so that's what we're doing. So we're going to be talking about the heart for the next 3 months. I'm going to heart us to death. Okay? But it's okay. It's all right. Amen, brothers and sisters? Oh, one last thing. I see it is 11:54. Parents, let's meet in the East Room at 12:15. East Room, 12:15. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. Have a great day. Oh, that's one more song.
Stand up and join us all as we all sing Wade in the Water. Because God, he moves things this way, he moves things that way. Waters crash and roll, but God is still in control and he knows what he's doing. Amen. Wade in the water,
wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on, and
wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
And I'll see those people dressed in red.
Trouble the water.
They look like the people that Moses led.
God's gonna trouble the water.
And I see those people dressed in gold.
Yeah. God's gonna trouble the water.
They look like the disciples of Christ, I'm told. Oh,
God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on and
wait in the water.
Come on and wait
in the water.
Come on
and wade in the water.
Come on and wade
in the water.
Children,
Sacando bad and cold. Yeah.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Through faith into the fiery furnace I'll go.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Our David's looking like it with just one shot. Yeah.
God's gonna trouble the water.
My faith in the Lord is fiery hot.
Oh. God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on and wait
in the water.
Come on, wait.
Trouble the water,
yet so my soul is heavenly bound. Yeah,
God's gonna trouble the water.
I'm going to heaven once I leave this earth. Yeah,
God's gonna trouble the water.
Yes, I don't bow to nobody but
Jesus Christ.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Come on,
wait
in
the water.
Come on,
wait in the water.
Beautiful, beautiful message. And I'm